Welcome back to JK Moto Podcast, a weekly motorcycle podcast for the everyday rider, covering current bike and racing news, specializing in track days, club racing, and great entertainment. We truly do it all, and this week we are brought to you once again by Working Class Customs, which is a custom fabrication shop out of northern Utah, and if you have any other questions on that, please direct them to Cole.
And I'm Cole.
And I'm Easton. We are your two favorite hosts of your favorite weekly motorcycle podcast. Not to let people in on the secret, but this does feel a little deja vu. I know we do this every week, but it's kind of interesting to do it twice in one week.
Yeah, but they don't know that.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Hey, it's real life. Things happen. I get it. But here we are. We're back. We got weather. We got motorcycle racing. We just talked about all this stuff last night, so I'm going to have trouble. But we were talking last night about Aprilia buying the number one plate, not spending as much money as Ducati, something, I don't know.
I don't know. That was a good conversation. I can't wait to see how that comes out. I think it's kind of, I don't know, if I'm Aprilia, it's embarrassing to put the number one plate on my bike. If I'm Jorge Martin, I earned that thing. So why can't I put it on my bike, regardless of the flavor? I can see a lot of angles here, but I think at the end of the day, you went with a new manufacturer, you know, maybe put a little sticker on.
Do the opposite of Pecco. Put the number one in the 89. You know, Pecco had the 63 in the one, just put the one in the 89.
Yeah. See?
Put it
under the tail or something.
There you go. I see what you're saying there. I do agree that, you know, for Aprilia it's yeah, we got the number one. I mean, we don't. That guy does. And now he's riding for us, and he sucks. He doesn't suck. The bike sucks. I don't know.
I've made my feelings clear that his career is over at this point. But
it will be interesting. I mean, he looked good on that bike. I've got high hopes for him. And not high hopes because I think he can do it. I have high hopes because I think he deserves it. I do think Jorge Martin's got some talent. You know, he's proven that past 3 years, honestly, and I hope that this Aprilia gig doesn't tank him, but I have the same hold and fear that you do.
The guy might go spend 2 years at Aprilia, not do anything, and a spot opens up on Ducati, and we might see him go back there someday. He could be on a BMW. The future only knows, right? Future only knows, and I don't want to take away from him. Like I said, the rider deserves the number one plate, regardless of what bike he's sitting on, and he should be acknowledged as a number one plate holder and on and on and on. But it would be a funny joke, you know, being the anti-Aprilia guys to say, yeah, that's as close as you'll ever get if he didn't win it next year.
Yeah.
Because look forward, if he runs the number one plate and then finishes fifth in the championship because the bike sucks or whatever, then that's what's going to be said.
Yeah.
That's the closest Aprilia ever got, is hiring the number one plate guy and destroying his career.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying he could come out and surprise us. He could come out and, I mean, he's got all the talent in the world.
My fear is the same as Aprilia, you know, is that we get the same thing Aprilia has done every season, which is that they start off pretty strong looking, pretty good looking, and then throughout the year they just don't keep up. It's just kind of what we saw from KTM this year also. And Ducati's just got that best all-around package. Aprilia, KTM seem to have a couple good spots, but they just don't have the consistency of every week bringing the best bike. And I don't think you can make up for that with a talented rider. I do think Jorge is a little bit more up there than Maverick and Aleix. I will give Maverick and Aleix the benefit of, you know, they've never been on the greatest machinery on the grid.
So baloney. Stop you there.
The factory Yamaha ride.
He was sitting on top of a factory Yamaha ride, which is the most, was at the time, was winning everything.
I mean, behind Mark Marquez on the Honda.
No, Quartararo had his day in the sun, was winning more races than anybody.
Okay.
Sure. That was the same time frame. Vinales was on the same bike as Quartararo. Why didn't he win? And even him went out there and won multiple races every year. He'd just have a win and then a 20th.
Yeah, he's about as, I guess he's about as inconsistent as the Aprilia itself. So that's fair. Okay. But anyway, it'll be interesting because, you know, Jorge's hungry. And I think he's hungry to prove to Ducati that their bike isn't the best thing out there. And it wasn't just the bike, that he does have the talent to back it up. So I'm hoping for that. I'm hoping he shows up on the grid and puts an Aprilia up there. I'm hoping Pedro shows up and Brad Binder. I'm hoping somehow Honda does something, maybe.
They're working on it.
They said they had, I saw an article, and I don't know if this is true or not. It's one of those, you know, I get 50 articles a day that are all like, oh my goodness, these words were said. And then it's just like explaining a picture. And anyway, but the article said that apparently Honda was quoted saying they didn't even bring their 2025 bike because they still had things to work on with the 2024 that they would then add to the 2025. So while they have a 2025, whatever you call that, ready, they didn't bring it because they've done so much testing with it all already throughout the year. They already had everything on the 2024 that they needed to test. Well, I don't know.
That's something you don't see every year, but, you know, my favorite thing, devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. They also have all the concessions in the world, so that's a different situation than most teams are. So,
yeah. I mean, that's what the article was said, that Pooj or whoever his name is, whatever his name is, was saying basically, we've had all the tests throughout the year to test our prototype 2025. So we just kept testing these very specific little things that were already installed on this 2024. So we didn't see the point of bringing the entire new bike. Said we've had, he said, and this was a quote from the article once again, he said, we've had the black bike at the test all year. Why would we bring another black bike this weekend or something like that? So
quote from Cole, we didn't want Joan Mir to crash it.
We only have one. We can't afford. All right. On that note, I say we roll the intro, get our guest on for real this time, and
move again. People don't know. They can't hear. They weren't here.
Well, we're just gonna pretend that they know.
Okay. Roll the intro.
Yesterday, at one point, I was in sick.
We'll have an editor line it up. All good. All good.
Yeah, that didn't work well, but okay.
Hey, we are back. We got a guest. We got Josh Binder back on the podcast. Josh, I know you've had a busy weekend, this past weekend. And then the weekend before that, you were also pretty busy, and I may or may not have been hanging out with you for that one. So,
and that's why you look like you're riding a camel.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, I'm whooped. I'm not gonna lie. I'm whooped. I'm worn out, and I got students on track tomorrow. I got a mini moto on Wednesday. We got to pack up Thursday. Go to COTA for the final ride smart at COTA. And I'm gonna tell you what. Monday, I'm turning the phone off, and I'm gonna lay in the bed, and it's gonna be amazing.
End of season. I was gonna say, yeah, you've got next. This coming weekend, this will come out on Wednesday, and then what do you guys do? Is it 3 days at COTA after Thanksgiving, or just two?
Just two. It's Saturday, Sunday, but I've got to drive up there Friday and set up the range Friday, Easton, you know, we just moved into the apartment there, so the big 44-foot trailer became my moving trailer/storage unit, so I've got to finish unloading it. And then load up bikes on Thursday. So Thanksgiving will be unload personal items and load bikes on Thursday. But it's all part of
turkey on the go. Of
the stupid schedule. Turkey on the go. Yeah. But Easton, man, I gotta tell you, dude, I miss you, man. It was I really enjoyed, and I mean this bottom of my heart, like you and Kelly hanging out. Man, that was a fun 4 days. I enjoyed hanging with you guys. I enjoyed watching you guys go through the program, and just it wasn't just train a couple guys. It was that was friends hanging out and riding motorcycles, and I genuinely will remember that weekend, and I enjoyed it like a lot. So miss you guys, man. It was fun.
Heck yeah. Well, I gotta kind of pair it off that and tell you that very similar feelings over this way. I don't know if you know. I know Cole knows. He's been on most of them. We've done some pretty big track day trips in our day, traveling all over the country, flying, driving, whatever it might be. And that one definitely hit the books pretty hard. Also,
awesome.
Shout out to the drink that you showed me, may or may not be mixed with apple cider tonight. So,
I just had one myself there. We just got back from center court.
See, it wasn't just motorcycling, Cole. There was good pizza. There was great food, good drinks, water. Drink water, go faster, lots of water.
Listen, I am absolutely disappointed right now because, A, there's a lot of bro love going on here. It's not what I got on here today. And I was really hoping for this to go a different way. Like, give us the lowdown, Josh. Like, how bad is he? Did you have to, you know, start his bike for him when he couldn't touch the ground? Or
okay, all right. I mean, I know I'm short, but
that's the direction I was hoping this conversation was going to head.
Oh, I will be completely honest about everything I saw out of Easton, and yeah, no, we can totally get into that. I don't want to do it just yet, but I mean, we can, you know. I saw some good things. I saw some things in the work. We identified him and he started working on them. Kind of sucked. We had a little bit of wet weather on Sunday, so we didn't get the last day to really work on the things that we identified. But I don't think it was anything that Easton didn't already know. I feel like maybe you got a little bit more direction on where to go now, Easton, or at least it solidified what you thought, like direction to work on for your riding. And no, Easton's a good rider. I enjoyed it. It was a neat mix of coaching yet riding with a friend. So it was really cool. It was a neat thing.
I can say from my end, it was awesome to, one, my first coaching experience, like officially. So that was cool, but two, to have the background of, like, I know this guy. Also, you know, I've been getting weekly riding tips from you for the last year, so I've got all those kind of going through my head. It was kind of cool to see those, like, kind of pop up. Sometimes you mention it, you'd be like, yeah, actually, like a tip I gave you, or sometimes it was just something you said that I was like, I'm pretty sure that was a tip at one point. But it's natural, you know, it proves that those tips aren't just something you're Googling. It is just in your natural conversation. You're just turning it into info for us. And then, yeah, to be able to, you know, most especially MSRH and the setup that you have down there, I think is way more conducive to learning and coaching than any other setup I've ever seen. Generally, and I've talked to a lot of friends, you know, even Cole's had a little bit of coaching experience. Generally, you show up, you have a coach, he rides around with you. He's like, yeah, you could clean up this line. You could clean up here. Yeah, man, follow me. Let's see, you know, I'll show you a couple things and then, you know, kind of whatever. And that's often how it goes. And it feels like I haven't wanted to venture into this yet, but kind of feels like the rider coaches are a dime a dozen these days. Everyone's a rider coach. Everyone that club races eventually needs to make a little bit extra money for tires and becomes a rider coach. Maybe that's not true down in Texas, but I've seen it in several different places. So to go down and get a very, very different setup, one very, very isolated, you know, you mentioned several times, you only allow so many students under you at a time so you can have that focus. And then, I mean, I also brought you a pretty relatively new rider. So watching how you were working with him and then turn around and work with me and kind of working that back and forth, it was sweet. I think anyone that's not taking Josh Bittinger up, and this isn't just an advertisement for Josh tonight, but anyone that's not taking him up on his offer down there, you're missing out. MSRH offers a very unique opportunity and definitely one of the better coaches in the nation down there. So
I genuinely appreciate that. You know, I am by far not a fast guy. I'm not. And I get it. I'm 44 years old. I'm never going to make it big or whatever. I got started at 40. So, but I've always had an ability. I don't know. I've always been a natural coach. And it more comes from passion than anything. Like, I find something that I like, and I want to share it with the world. Like, dude, this is fun. You got to try it. So when I was growing up playing music, it was like, hey, I play bass. I want to teach you to do this. And then even when I was, you know, my previous life, I was an engineer. I don't know if I've talked with you guys about this, but, you know, I went through several years of engineering school and had all this student debt, and I didn't know what the hell an engineer did. So once I became one and started working, I was like, man, I'm going to go back. So I started teaching at community college, and I used to go in with the purpose of, hey, these first and second year engineers need to understand this is what an engineer does. And I got into teaching and coaching, and I just, I guess I've always been able to be a good liaison between the nerd, so to speak, and the corporate bean counters, and being able to translate between different people has enabled me to be able to teach people better. And I always kind of ask people, hey, what do you do for a living? You know, and I try to put things in terms that people can understand. And like I said, I'll never be a great, great fast rider, but I do have a personal goal. I want to be one of the better coaches in the country one day, and I'm going to keep working at it. You know, I mean, Champ School is a big deal, you know, Coach School, all these guys with pro riders and all this experience, and I'll never have that. But I do, you know, it wasn't too long ago, I was a new rider, and I remember what it's like and what are you thinking? What do you know? What do you not know? And I read people okay, and I like to think that I can see what they're thinking, and trying to put people on the right path at the right time. And I enjoy it a whole lot, and I want to be better and better at it. I'm going to keep working at being better about it. But it was fun coaching you, because your verge of racing and becoming faster, and then being a Kelly New guy, and it was kind of cool because it takes two different approaches. And I love seeing the progression of both you guys. Like, and I liked your approach too. Like, you have an analytical approach, and immediately you were telling me, like, you went out and did the track walk, and you were already thinking, maybe we could try a different line here. I love that, because you were like, hey, can we do keyhole different and late eight or V this off? And I love that thought process. And that's how people get faster. You know, just because this is the way guys have been riding the track for years doesn't mean it's the right way. So right. I hope you continue to analyze things and question things. Even if a number one plate club racer says, this is the line, question it. Maybe you got something to take it help. So anyway, I got off topic, but dude, I appreciate the way you were taking it. And it was really fun to watch and to work with you for sure.
No, it was, yeah, it was sweet. I can also say, just for more advertisement, I guess, but not really, just more feedback. Kelly, you know, I spent 17 hours with him the next day in the truck. Nothing but good words from him also. But we, you know, we didn't just ride MSRH. We didn't just go out on the big track and
work on race lines. Don't steal my thunder.
What do you got?
Josh got you to go out and get your poor little boots dirty. You won't let us talk about any dirt on there. And then you let Josh take you out on the dirt.
Hey, all right.
He cheated on you, dude. He totally cheated on you with me, and I'm not sad about that.
Hey, there's a difference between covering motocross and supercross, because I don't watch that on TV, and I don't think I ever will. And going out and riding. And going out and riding a dirt bike is something I've wanted to do for a long time. But
Easton, do you feel dirty?
No. Nope. Not even a little bit. Nope. I have showered plenty of times.
So did you guys already, like, cover, like, what all we did? Like, the breakdown for anybody watching, like, what was the schedule? What did you guys do? What did you learn?
Not really, no. We have not.
Okay. So the viewers have just seen us bullcrap for 10 minutes. What did you do and what did you learn? I'm curious. You've had time to sit on it and think about it, and you're an experienced rider. What helped you, or what stuck out to you as most? It's like, hey, this is going to help me in my riding. I really want to know. Or nothing. Okay. Maybe nothing helped you. I don't know.
Yeah, nothing helped. We can probably just go ahead and end the podcast here and we'll call it good. Hope you guys enjoyed. You know, we showed up late one night, then Thursday morning we went out, we did a track walk first thing in the morning. That was super awesome. It was just us out there. You wake up, first thing you do is head out to the track. You're on some scooters following a guy around on a bike, and not just walk on the track to be like, okay, here's a look at it, but walk on the track to say, hey, here's some lines, here's some markers right off the bat. We're ready to set you up for success and get you moving down the right line quick. So that kind of took that whole, like, usually it'll take me a session or two just to even be on the right line before I start pushing things. It took me half of a session to be on the right line and start being able to kind of pick up the speed.
Yeah, you picked up quick, man. I don't want to interrupt, but one of your strengths I thought was, like, you pick apart and get a track figured out pretty good, pretty darn quick. That was impressive, for sure.
I appreciate that. I will say I've done that a lot, so that's probably the only advantage I have over someone else, is I have been to quite a few different ones, which I do think helps out. But yeah, I mean, I can also say that doing that track walk in the morning definitely helped out with that. And then we're running, you know, I did just to bring up MSRH again, we're running 30-minute sessions pretty much all day. I think we had some 20 minutes there for a little bit when the open wheel cars showed up, but 30-minute sessions of, you know, you follow me, you follow Kelly, you follow me, you follow Kelly, kind of 15 minutes of each, come back, point out some things, pull up the video, like having that video feedback right off the bat, being like, hey, look, here, you are not getting off the bike like you think you are. It's one thing for me to be like, I'm not getting off the bike, and I got to wait for pictures to come out, and then I got to buy the pictures and be like, oh, holy cow, I'm nowhere near where I need to be. It's another thing to come back in the garage, put the tire warmers on, go over, look at the computer. There it is right there. Everything lined up. I'm directly behind you. This is where you should be. This is where you are. Let's go fix it. Grab some water. Pull the tire warmers back off. You're back out there and going. So that was like the track day with the coaching right there with you. It was super awesome. It was also pretty, like, I think that your flow of working with two people for me is really nice, because there are times where I just need some time by myself to just go work. Not every lap's going to be perfect especially when you're working on something. I might make some mistakes in turn 6 and turn 9, but I'm only working turn 10 and 12. So 6 and 9 don't really matter, but I get all awkwarded out when there's a coach behind me and sees me make these mistakes when I know that I'm working. Anyway, it was nice to kind of have that time to myself sometimes. But yeah, that was day one. I think we made some pretty good progress right from the beginning. And then what's up, Cole?
Break. I want Josh's opinion on this. I wasn't there, obviously, but I've rode enough tracks for the first time with you. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned he learns the track very quickly. I think I would agree with that. But one thing about Easton, I think, is he knows where he thinks the lines are, and he's going to go hit those. He's going to go hit those points in those lines at whatever speed he's comfortable at the moment.
Was that a question? I'm sorry. It's hard to hear you, Cole.
Sorry. Is this better?
I'm going to put the phone to my ear. This is going to look weird, but say it again.
I was just saying, I concur with what you said about Easton learning a track quick. But what's always interesting to me is when Easton goes around a track for the first time, speed be damned, he just goes and does it at his own pace, doesn't worry about anybody else, and he just goes and starts hitting. You know, he'll go hit those markers or hit those points all the way around the track, whereas somebody else might go fling it around the track in the wrong way and then dial it back from there or dial it in.
I didn't see that, to be honest. He I don't want to say he took his time and ramped up. I mean, first time I followed him, I was like, all right, he's going to go. Or he's a little faster than I thought. And I think as soon as we got off track, first thing, I was like, damn, dude, you're a pretty good rider. Honestly, he was faster and smoother and better first time I saw him ride than I expected. And I hope you take that as a compliment. It's not that I was thinking badly of you before you came, but it was impressive. And then I saw right off the bat, Easton, we talked about this, it's his exit drive. He's not comfortable getting on the throttle and driving the bike out to the outside extents of the track, and has trouble trusting the bike on the edge of the tire, getting on the gas on that big Aprilia. But outside of that, his corner entries, the way that he tips the bike in, he's very smooth with the way that he applies his steering inputs, whether it be bar input or body position. I thought he was really strong on that. I thought that he was stable in the corners. I kept watching his helmet, where he was looking, and he's got good vision. Even when we did the minis, as soon as we came out, he had very strong vision from the get-go, and Easton has good understanding of the motorcycle dynamics, getting on the brakes, loading the front tire, a lot of those things. He's got really good understanding. It's just it's a very strong weak point, getting on the throttle and driving it and getting strong drive. And at MSRH, we talked about this, there are pretty much 4 straightaways. And if you want to make time at MSRH, you have to be patient through the corner, get the bike lined up, and be confident on your drive. And I think there's easily, I want to say 10 to 12 seconds that Easton could easily find if he could get some confidence getting on the gas on that Aprilia. And that's my straightforward, no BS. That's what he works on. But I honestly think if he got good on the gas, Easton would be a handful in a race. For what that's worth, that's what I think.
Hell yeah. Oh, hey, I appreciate that.
Hell yeah, he says.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say.
Now, I've heard that you're pretty damn quick, Cole. He said that you've gotten really fast this year. I really wanted to ride with you. Like, it broke my heart you didn't come. I'm upset. Hey, I'm going to cry a little bit.
It ain't over. It ain't over.
Okay.
Oh, you know, Cole, I know what you're talking about, and I don't think you're wrong. I think one of the big differences this weekend, just to kind of – and maybe I've gotten better overall. I have been to quite a few tracks without you recently, but also having that track walk in the morning was a big, like – I had already seen it. I had asked him very specifically, like, you know, there's a launch there, and they call it the launch for a reason. It's the only elevation you have at MSRH, and it is – whoop, it's a jump. The direction we took it, it wasn't too bad, but you're coming in. You got a sharp right-hander right afterward. I say, what, almost a 90 probably, Josh?
Yeah, it's about a 90-degree turn, yeah.
So you're coming down this long straight, and I was like, when do you break for this launch? Because I know that if I don't know that answer, I'm going to break way too early. I'm going to come in here with way not enough speed. But I know what you're talking about, the whole, yeah, I'll go stick to the line. The reason for that, I think, is just, you know, we don't need to dwell on it, but I was always taught, stick to the line no matter what your speed is, so you're predictable. We did run into the opposite of that over the weekend. I don't know if I'll share that story or not. Remind me later. Maybe I'll bring it up. But
well, the only reason I said that, I mean, I'm sure you're sharpening your stick, but just somebody else might go for broke into the corner willy nilly and be completely offline because of the speed they're carrying through there with no business doing that yet. And it feels like you wind up more cautious out of the gate.
No, 100%. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I didn't see you riding above your ability. Like, I would have pulled you off if so. You pressured a little quicker than I thought, but you weren't blowing corners so bad that it scared me at all. You were learning the lines. You blew it a little bit, and you made a correction. You blew it a little bit, made a correction, and that's, you know, we've talked about this. That's the way that I like a rider to go, is you get on the line, you add speed until you screw it up, and then you make an adjustment, fix it, and then you add more speed, and you continue that rinse and repeat process. And I saw some of that, but I definitely didn't see any overriding at all. And I'm gonna tell you, Kelly too. Kelly took a very good approach to riding. He you know, he went out there and he didn't try to push it. He was trying to learn and add a little speed, learn and add a little bit of speed. And he was doing well. You know, we had some wet conditions Sunday, and it did not deter him. I was very impressed with his determination to get as much out of the weekend as he could. You know, when we were doing the flat tracking, man, Kelly was struggling. He, you know, I mean, we talked about, you know, he'd never been on a bicycle. The whole rotating wheels and the motorcycle and the dynamics of it was completely new to him. And he just kept working and working. You could see, you know, once you guys told me he was an engineer, it made sense. You know, I could see the wheels turning, and I really appreciated the way that he kept working to get better. That was really rad. That was cool. I enjoyed watching both you guys ride. That was fun. And flat tracking, that was Cole, I don't know if he told you how we kind of changed things. We talked about him coming down and a baseline and then do the program and then see exactly with the data what my program did to help. But we came out, we had a little bit of a schedule thing, and I was like, man, let's just have fun and ride bikes, and I would like y'all to try flat tracking, and the guys are all about it. So, you know, we took it and did that, and I'm really, really glad that you guys were okay with that. I'm glad that you got to dip your toe in the water of dirt, and I hope that just that little bit of sliding that we did, like, Easton, it's going to come where you're going to come in and you have made a mistake, and front's going to tuck, rear's going to slide, and I hope that you got just a little bit of reflex now, and I hope you carry that on. I hope you go see Aaron. I hope we can get that thing worked out. You can go see Aaron and just get more practice, because you're going to get to that point, and it might keep you from wrecking, so I hope you pursue that more for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I can say the flat track thing was kind of sweet. The flat track and the mini motos both, and especially, you know, I'm at risk of sounding whatever, but I'll stand behind it all day. I'm a very small guy, and a lot of times I hang out with dudes with dirt bikes, and, you know, they're on, Cole, you got a 450, Lugnut's got a 450. My brother-in-law had a 250 two-stroke. Like, all these bikes are so big that I feel weird saying, like, hey, you know, I don't need a 450. But this weekend, for the mini motos, we're all up there on, what, TTR 125s and a CRF 100, and then...
Yeah, 125s.
Yeah, and then we go up and do the flat track, and it's the same bikes, right? So having this little tiny bike that I don't have to worry about, it doesn't have so much power that you have to worry about it, and it's so lightweight you can just throw it around. I think that was huge. And then also there was a lot of me that was just trying to go at it as natural as possible and not overanalyze like I do everything else, like I get accused of all the time, which I don't think is a bad thing, but I was trying to do the slidey thing as naturally as it would come. But that was a ton of fun. Like if nothing else, it was just super fun to get kind of that first taste of dirt experience, you know, sticking your leg way out. You were giving me crap all day because you're like, your leg's going to get tired. And I don't know what I told you, but in my head, I was like, yeah, but I look freaking cool, so I'm going to keep doing it. So that's what they do on TV. You know, Cole, you watch all this motocross. That's why I can't watch too much of it because I don't know what else to do besides copy the professionals. So he said, stick the bike down low, and if you want to, you can stick a leg out. And I said, you better believe it. My leg is going to be out. That's how it's going to be. But no, that was awesome. I was a little wary when we put knobbies on the front of a bike and left some road tires on the back. I was a little interested. I've been on a dirt bike before, and my biggest complaint with the dirt bike was always just that the grip isn't there and that it just doesn't feel right. And so I tried to just kind of put that aside and say, no, that's the whole freaking point. We're going to have the grip not be there, and we're going to ride through it rather than against it. We're going to ride with it and ride through it. And so that was my goal going into that. And I think we made some progress there. And the best part was, you know, you mentioned it yourself, Josh, we had fun. We weren't up there to drill and become professional flat trackers in a day. So we just had a ton of fun going around the track, doing whatever. Exposed Kelly once again, new rider, exposed him to some dirt and some sliding and kind of the complete opposite world of motorcycling that he actually had zero experience with up to that point. So
yeah, that was the biggest thing. And I just wanted to expose you guys to some stuff. You know, there's, you get into it, everybody goes track riding. I was a year and a half in before I knew anything about flat tracking or these alternative schools like Corner Spin or, you know, American Super Camp and that sort of stuff. When I was like, oh man, this is an extra way to learn to get faster, you know, and all the dirt guys that grew up on dirt were just smoking me, and man, I got to try that stuff. But, you were talking about something about sliding, and this is totally off topic. I know you're trying to stay on what we did at MSRH, but two nights ago, Michael Klessel, you met him, number one plate CMRA, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't he down here for, yeah. Yep. So he was down here again this weekend, and he was training and working on stuff. And we went in his trailer for a little while, and we had this really in-depth discussion. And Cole, I really want your opinion on this. You know, you're an experienced racer. I understand you've got a decent budget for racing. So I want your opinion on this. We were talking about these alternative training methods and riding in the rain and sliding. And we talked about, well, I told him, I was like, yeah, I train in the rain all the time. I ride on slicks out here and I slide on purpose because I want to know what it feels like. And he said, dude, you're crazy. Like, whatever, man. You're the number one plate. You got to know how to slide a bike. And he slides it. And we talked about the theory of like John Hutchinson. He says, ride on shagged out tires and learn to go fast on those. And if you really want to learn to get fast, ride on, you know, crap tires. And when you put new ones on, it'll, you know, you'll just rail. You know, I had a little science experiment that Easton got to watch, which was totally stupid, but I thought there was value there. And I talked with Klessel about that, and he totally disagreed with me. He was like, no, man. He said, if you want to get fast, you need to ride new tires every day. And that way you practice on good equipment and you know what good equipment feels like. And I see that side of that too. But riding on new tires for every track or whatever obviously comes with a price tag. And we went back and forth about it, and I think we had a very respectful conversation. And I like to, you know, I'm poor. I don't have tires for every track day. So there's that part of it. But, I mean, what do you think about that, Cole? Like, is there value to riding in crap conditions and crap surfaces to learn that stuff? Or is it good to have perfect equipment and just learn what that feels like every lap of every track day? What do you think?
So I got an example that I think relates.
Okay.
I'll get back to the tire thing in a second. But so I have a basket case S1000, first gen. The forks are not straight. They're dinged up. The thing does, you know, it doesn't shift right. It's got all kinds of problems. Every time I got stuck trying to chase a speed, every time I got stuck, I went and grabbed that bike and went and flogged it for a full session. at least as hard as I could go. And when I got back on the better equipment, all of a sudden I would break through that next step. I would get that time I was searching for. So I think that relates, because if you can get that old thing to go fast, it's easy to go fast on the equipment that's working properly. So okay. I would relate that to the tires as well. In my opinion, there's merit to running old tires, okay, and, you know, feeling what that's like, you know, getting used to it, moving around on you more.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about, I mean, that guy you're talking about, he's chasing times out there, right? So
yeah,
he's chasing time. So sometimes you're like, no, just give me a fresh tire. Or in a racing situation, sometimes it feels like you don't have time to do that. Like, I could turn more laps on this tire, but I don't have time. I'm trying to get somewhere. I'm trying to go somewhere. Sure. Give me that fresh tire. Nothing like a fresh.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, you know, and budget's part of it. But, you know, I totally see what he's saying. You want to go fast. And, of course, Klessel's chasing, you know, track record times. He was down here a few weeks back at a track day running 35s consistently in crap conditions. We don't have our track paved yet. And the lap record's like, I think, a 32. I mean, he's right there. I mean, he's fast. You get below a 40 at MSRH and you're starting to be in the fast club, and he's running consistent 35s. So, like, he's a fast dude. But he rides good equipment all the time, and he came from dirt. So, I mean, he knows how to slide stuff. So I don't know. It was a really neat discussion, and it was neat to have somebody, you know, he's a 15-year club racer. He's been doing this for a long time, and he's got the budget for it too. You know, he's got one of the best race programs out here. He's got the best bikes, backup bikes, equipment, the best shocks. You know, he's got the new through rod K-Tech stuff. I mean, he's got it dialed in. He's got a great race program, but it was a neat conversation. I just wanted to see what you thought about it.
Yeah, I can see merit both ways for sure.
Yeah, right on. Biggest question of the night. You coming down here next year, dude?
Me?
Yeah.
I got to wait all the way till next year.
Colt's saying he's going to be down there about 3 weeks.
That's the best answer. That's a good answer, man.
Hey, you do promise us that nice, warm Texas weather all year round, right?
Dude, it was 87 today.
Yeah, apparently we brought the cold with us, which it wasn't bad. I was fine with it, but apparently we brought the cold with us when we were there.
No, it was great today. We woke up this morning. It was nice and chilly for a little. We didn't do a track walk. We had Minimoto, like, kind of. The beginning morning vision stuff was nice and chill, like 60s. And then by mid-afternoon, it was 85, 86, 87. And I was supposed to be that way, you know, for a while, I guess. So I love it. Like I said, I moved from Virginia for this stuff so we can ride all year long.
Yeah.
I'm super jealous of that. Before you got on here, we were talking about, it's supposed to be down to 7 degrees next week here.
Oh, Lord. I think last year we had like 1 week of winter. Somewhere there in February, it got cold and it actually got below 32 for a couple of days. And of course, I think it's funny because I'm from Virginia and I worked on boats. You have to winterize boats. You got to drain the water out of the blocks, drain the water out of everything. You got to run antifreeze through it. Everybody used to freak out. Oh, God, it's going to be 30 degrees tonight. And you think about it, think how long it takes ice to freeze, right? I mean, you got to put it in there. It takes hours. If it dips below freezing for a couple hours, nothing's going to happen. It's got to get to like 21, 22 for like 3 days to freeze and bust a boat block. And I come to Texas, and down here it's funny. Guys are like, we got to bring our bikes in. It's going to be 31 tonight. And it kind of makes me laugh a little bit.
Yeah, it'll hit 31 for about 45 minutes, and that is not anywhere near long enough to freeze any water.
Now, don't get me wrong. Copper cores in radiators are thin and brittle, and they break faster than an iron engine block. But yeah, we had 1 week of winter last year, and it got cold for about a week. But otherwise, we rode year round. Michelle and I actually, New Year's Day last year, a track was open, and we were the only ones here. So we had open track, no cars, and Michelle and I had the entire day to ride, and it was like 85. It was so cool to ride New Year's Day by ourselves. It's really neat.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man, a lot of fun. But you guys are welcome. I'll extend this again. You guys are welcome anytime. Easton, it was really cool that you hung out with, you know, we just moved to the apartment and it's definitely under construction. You guys were super cool chilling about sleeping on plywood floors. But by the time you guys come back, we'll have a nice spare bedroom, hot shower, cool place to stay. So please come visit again and don't make it a year, man. Y'all come back whenever you want, man. You're welcome here anytime.
Heck yeah. Well, I can say it's definitely worth it. MSRH is I'll be honest. They're not the top of my list. The pavement is not, you know, Cole, all weekend I was actually kind of thinking of you. He bugged me about the ridge and, you know, how great their pavement is. And we show up to anywhere other than perfect pavement. And we started talking, oh, Utah's got, then we go walk Utah and there's like a 4-inch gap in the pavement in a couple spots. And just Utah's pretty beat up. And I would actually put Utah probably a little bit worse than the MSRH. So when he gives MSRH crap about being a motocross track, it's perfectly fine. There's grip for days. There's a couple cement patches, a couple of tar patches, whatever. Ain't a big deal. So,
Do you want to talk about what we did this weekend?
Yeah, I did want to dive into that. Get the lowdown, because I guess maybe those cement patches might not be around too much longer.
I sent you the number. You don't have to sandbag. Did you tell Cole what we did?
I have not. I have not delivered anything yet.
Cole, we sold, as of today, we had one extra one, so it's more than what I texted you last night, Easton. We sold 40 new memberships to this track at $2,500 a piece. Who does math?
Bull crap.
It's $100,000 that we raised this weekend. And my agreement with track management is every dollar from those new membership agreements goes towards track repairs. So I've got a $100,000 budget to make this track better. So obviously right now I'm working with engineers and we're going to be getting bids and we're going to see who can put the most new asphalt down. And dude, for $100,000, like I originally was thinking, let's just fix a few corners. If I can raise maybe 40 grand, we can do something. And I set that as the goal. And then as soon as we made it public, all of a sudden it's like, oh, we can do more. And I said, all right, let's raise 50 grand. This weekend came around and we sold 40 memberships. The place was packed. The event went off without a hitch. We worked really hard. We had people in every role that we could think of. We had corner workers, grid marshal. It was neat because it was a members day. So what we did, we ran four groups. We did two bike groups and two car groups. And it was really neat to see that work out together. We did 20-minute sessions, and it went off without a hitch, man. The schedule stuck to, very few incidents or flags. Everybody was happy. We brought out some vendors. We had the pro photo guy here. We had a coffee cart. We had guys serving brisket and ribs. And everybody had an absolute blast, and everybody was happy. The motorcycle community grew. And then Sunday, yesterday, the day after the event, a lot of the coaches that I had on staff, everybody stayed over, the new member stayed, and we had 30 bikes here for a members day, which is unheard of. Normally 20 is the cap. So we had so many bikes that we actually split yesterday into two different bike groups, and we ran bike, slow bikes, fast bikes, and cars. And yes, I got teary-eyed. I'm not gonna lie. I looked around and I saw all the bikes and all the new members, and I saw the motorcycle community healthy and growing. And I'm getting teary-eyed right now. It was absolutely awesome. I went over to Jose. You met Jose. And I gave him a big hug, and I said, look around, dude. It's like, look what we've done. Look at this. And it was so cool to see all the people down here running the track, getting better, all the new members, and the fact that we got money in the bank now to prepare the track and make it better, to get rid of some of this negativity you see online about MSRH. Like, guys, honestly, I'm probably as happy right now as I've ever been in my life, and I feel very – very happy that all that happened, and I'm just stoked, man. I'm a little bit excited about it. So hope you guys come, and hopefully we have new pavement by the time you guys get here.
Heck yeah.
Congratulations.
I get emotional.
That's great. That's great to hear. Congratulations.
That's huge. That's awesome. 100,000, that's a decent amount of pavement. I may or may not have calculated how much it would cost me to build a racetrack once or twice in my lifetime.
Yeah.
It's not bad. It's not a full racetrack, but definitely more than half a cement patch in a corner. So that'd be nice. Yeah. And a lot of that track is not in bad condition. You know, the straights are not horrible. There's a lot of parts that don't need that new pavement anyway. So I think it'll go a long ways. No, I'm excited for it. I think with a revamp like that, I think you'll start to see a couple lap time records maybe get pushed.
That's what I told Mike Klessel in the CMRA, in the licensee Facebook group. A lot of negativity, dude. Like, guys, like, we shouldn't even race there. And I get it. You know, once you get down below a certain lap time, it's bumpy and it's a little dangerous, I guess. But, you know, it's not terrible. And if we can fix a few of those places, Like, I really want to put the haters at bay. I want to bring this place back. And thing is, we don't have anywhere else to ride in Houston. This is the only track. If you're not riding here, you got to drive 5 hours to Dallas. You got to drive, you know, pretty much 5 hours to Dallas. There's nowhere else to ride. And Houston is, what, the sixth largest economy in the United States. There's riders all over the place. And I'm in these, you know, Bike Life Houston groups and these other ones. And every single day it's rider down, fatality, check your people. And these guys, like, I just want a safe place for guys to come and learn to ride their bikes and actually learn, like, how to steer, how to do this, so that if they do choose to go out and, you know, run the beltway and lane splitting and stuff, at least they have better tools. Maybe they, not as few will die, but I don't know. I just love the bike community here. The people here are awesome. And I really hope we can get a better place to make them, to be a, you know, to be able to train and ride. So, and I got to thank you guys. Like, people down here are watching the podcast. I ran into somebody else the other day. Man, I watch it every week. Like, you guys have a little bit of a following down here. So I appreciate you guys, what you do and getting the word out. And whether you know it or not, this weekend, people coming out, like, you guys are a small part of that. They really are. And I mean that. I really think that. People are watching what you guys do, and the fact that you guys came and visited doing the track review. I started watching that tonight. That was pretty rad. Pretty cool, man. So thank you guys for your help in what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We're just trying to grow the sport wherever it may need growing. Sounds like Houston might be the spot, but.
We'll see, man. I got a few other irons in the fire. We're not going to bring it all up tonight. We're already at an hour and 14 minutes. You guys have to trim this down anyway to keep me from rambling, but offline, there's some more stuff that we're working on. And we're going to keep growing the community a lot. And I really hope you guys come and participate for sure.
Absolutely. I wish it wasn't such a long drive.
So move.
So that's the only holdback. Yeah. there you go, Cole. Move to Texas. Race with the CMRA. See if they are, in fact, the fastest club. You've raced with Legion, Utah, CVMA.
When do they – side note before we cut this off. So you race all year. What about this endurance race? Do you do any – is it racing season over, though?
Yeah, our first round is mid-February. And I told Easton, now that he knows the track, if he wants to come down in February for round one, I'll field an endurance team and he can be on it. I'll provide the bike, the garage on pit lane, tires. Just come down and ride, pick a spot. We'll ride, we can put Betty out there. She's 300. We can ride 300 class. I can probably get a 400 from Ride Smart if we want to do a 400 bike. But yeah, man, if y'all want to come down, Cole, you don't know the track yet. If you want to come down a few days before, we'll do a couple members days so you can learn the track. And I'd totally do an endurance team with you guys if you want.
I'd love to do an endurance round. Our local club here is talking about at least a couple of them this year.
You guys I'd love to have you down here, man. Come ride with us. At least do members days. If not, come race the CMRA round. I'm going to take racing pretty serious next year. I've been growing the business and the RadSmart stuff, but I need to get back to racing. 2022 is the last year I did a full season and did pretty well, but I'm going to make a run at expert this year. And my goal is to at least get one podium this year. That's, you know, I'm 44 years old. If I get one expert podium, I'll call it a day.
Not bad. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm down for a little bit of JK Moto podcast endurance racing.
Oh yeah,
pretty good. We'll have to see. We'll have to see what it brings. But yeah, I mean, just to kind of close it out, I can to anyone that is listening, especially if you're down in Texas and you didn't get signed up for that membership drive that Josh was doing, even at the normal price, I think it's 100% worth it. I'd say if you're within 6 or 8 hours of that place, it's 100% worth it. And then Josh has the killer setup. Maybe if you're a motorcycle guy that likes racing and doing track days, like, you should be jealous of Josh and his setup down there. Got the skid pad available, doing mini motos all the time out there. The mini moto camp is great, whether you're a seasoned or brand new rider. And Josh is great at tailoring that for both of that. I saw that personally this weekend. Not just me and my buddy either. There was another guy out there with us, and just kind of seeing how he works with different people is pretty impressive. And then get out on track with him, even without him, MSRH, I'd say is worth it. It's worth checking out with him there, teaching you through, coaching you through it. It's freaking awesome. That was definitely one of the greatest motorcycle weekends I've had ever. So
two things to add to that, Easton. Number one, the membership thing, it goes back up to $5,000 now. However, I still get a deal if I get a group buy. If I get five guys that want to get in on a group buy, I can't do the 2,500, but I could still do better than the five. So I can still help people out getting some sort of a discount on the membership. Secondly, after this membership drive, I think management's very happy with what we've did with what we've done, and I've been pressuring one of them to give me room here, to give me a little bit of dirt. You know, you guys were great. We got up and drove 3 hours to go to Austin to go flat track for 3 hours, and we came back. We had a long day, and you know, we did 2/3 driving just to get a couple hours of flat track. There's a little piece of dirt here at the track that I think I'm going to get use of, and if so, I might have a flat track right here on campus, as you call it. I'm just trying to get the best motorcycle training facility. We got the big track. The kids we're going to put on the youth program out on the go-kart track. The skid pads available for minis. And if I can get this little patch of dirt and we can start flat tracking right here, I might start looking at some 3-day camps and just kind of make this the Southern United States Mecca for training. I want guys to come down here and do every sort of cross training possible to get safer and faster and better. So hopefully we'll be able to do flat tracking here so that we don't have to drive 6 hours next time you come down.
Hey, the drive is worth it, but that would be sweet. Yeah, the Bidinger Motorsports Campus, it's a hashtag on Instagram now. So be looking for it. It's sweet. It deserves the name. There are multiple different classrooms all around, different areas where you're learning. It was awesome.
Cool, man. I appreciate the kind words. And I love that you're honest about stuff, because if you came down and it sucked, I know that you would have told the world that it sucked. So I appreciate that.
He would have. He's kind of.
Hey, Cole, you got any other questions? Anything else to add?
No, that's it. I'm just going to sit here in my jealous pie and we'll see if we can't make it down there soon.
Hey, man, turkey on the go. Thursday, turkey on the go.
Yeah, man. Anytime, guys. Seriously. My winter's pretty wide open. Shoot me a text. Say, hey, I got a weekend off. Fly down. I'll probably get you on some Aprilias or something. If you don't want to drag your bikes down, just want to come down, catch a quick flight, man. You guys are welcome anytime. My house is your house. My shop's your shop. Come down, hang out. Be great.
Thanks. Sounds good. I appreciate that.
All right. Well, to the listeners, if you haven't been down there yet and you're in area, or even if not, hit them up. Go check it out. Link will be down in the description, as it always is every week. This is the man, the myth, the legend himself, Josh Bidinger, that brings you your weekly riding tips. So go check him out. Check out the Bidinger Motorsports Campus. And we appreciate everyone watching and listening. We'll see you guys all next week.
You guys give me way too much credit, man. Thank you guys for all you do. You guys rock.